Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Sukkah Memhei. We begin at the Mishnah, which is four lines from the top of the Amud. We spoke about the mitzvah of Arava. Now, how exactly was this fulfilled? Says the Mishnah, mitzvah Arava Ketar. How did they go about doing the mitzvah of the Arava in the Beis Hamikdash? Makom Hayilamatim Yerushalayim. There was this place down the mountain from Yerushalayim, which was a swampy area full of water, which was conducive to the growth of Aravos. V'nikra Moitza. That was the name of the place, Moitza. Still there today, on the bottom of the mountain, right at the entrance to Yerushalayim. There's a town called Moitza. So that's where they got the Aravos from. Yerdin L'sham, they would go down to there. Umalaktin Misham, they would pick from there. Murbiyos Shel Arava, these long, beautiful Arava branches. Uboin v'zoik fin oison b'tzidi ha-mizbeach. And then they would go ahead and put them around the mizbeach, place them on the floor, encircling the mizbeach. Tosis points out that according to the shita that Arava also had netila. So first netila took place. The kohanim would actually take hold of the aravos, shake them, walk them around the mizbeach, and then plant them beside the mizbeach. They were so tall, despite the fact that the mizbeach was 9 amma from floor to the top. These aravos were even higher, and they would bend over on the gab, on the top of the mizbeach. Toku viru v'toku, Teisa says, as an expression of simcha, it would blow the shofar tkiya, through tkiya. B'chol yom, typically, mekifin es hamizbeach pam achas. On a regular day of Sukkos, meaning other than the seventh day, they would make a single hakafa around the mizbeach, holding these aravos. And they would say, Ona Hashem Hashiyana, Ona Hashem Hatzlichana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, instead of Ona Hashem Hashiyana, it was Ani Vehu Hashiyana. And Tosis brings a few pshatim, why he would say it this way. Firstly, Ani Vehu is actually Begematria, Ona Hashem. Right? Same numerical value. Ona Hashem is Aleph Nun Aleph, and Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Instead, we have Ani Vehu. Works out to the same number. He brings another pshat that we want to incorporate Hashem, so to speak, in our hardship. As the pasuk says, Imo Yonoich B'Tzor Hashem, participate in the Tzor of Kol Yisrael. So it's a bakasha for ourselves, and also Hashem, Ani Vehu Hashiyana. Hashem, bring salvation for us and for you together as one. This was on your typical day of Sukkot. One time around the Mizbeach, with these tefillos. But on that day, the seventh day of Sukkot, what we call Hashanah Rabbah, Makifin Esa Mizbeach Sheva Pam, they did a more elaborate Arava procedure. They would actually make seven hakafas around the Mizbeach. B'shas Petirosan. Now, when they were done, and they're bidding farewell, they're taking leave of the Mizbeach after a whole Sukkot and all the Karbonis, Mahin Oimrim, what would they say to the Mizbeach? Yoifi, this beauty, this adornment that we're doing for you, placing these Arabas around you, Yoifi, Lecha Mizbeach, it's for you, Mizbeach, as a sign of appreciation for all that you've done for us. You've helped us with the Karbonis, Yoifi, Lach Mizbeach. Rav Lezo Oimrim, slightly different, Lecha, we acknowledge that Hashem is our Hashem, we're loyal to Him, we're committed to Him, Ulecha Mizbeach, and this Shavach, this praise, is for you, Mizbeach. Laka, v'lacha Mizbeach. K'maseu b'chol, the same procedure that took place during the weekday, the days of Sukkot, which were weekday days, not Shabbos, the same way they would do it on Shabbos. Kach maseu b'Shabbos. With one minor difference, they would have to prepare the Arabis before Shabbos. They couldn't pick it on Shabbos itself. Ela shehoyu malaktin oison me'erev Shabbos. They would actually pick the Arabis me'erev from before Shabbos. Umanichan oison begigyoy shel zov, and they would place them in these golden vessels full of water. Kadesh lo yichmashu, they wouldn't wilt. Rabbi Yechim Breiko Omer has a different version of events. He says that instead of Arabis, they would use palm branches. Charoya shel dekel, Hayumavian, they would take these palm branches, Vichivtin Oisun Bekarka, Bitsidya Mizbech, and thrash them on the floor at the side of the Mizbech. Voisa Yom on the seventh day, which was a special day, that was a more elaborate procedure. Voisa Yom Nikro Chibut Arroyos was called the day of banging the Acharoyos. According to Rashi, actually, Chibut, Rashi said, meant Nianua, shaking them. This was regarding the Arabis back on Namgimel Mabes. But in this Mishnah, it's mashmat, the word chibud is referring to thrashing on the ground. In fact, the Rambam learns that's the way you meant to handle the Arabis, thrash them on the ground, the way we do today. We take them, we walk around the bima, plus we bang it on the floor. The Rambam says we meant to do both, we mekayim both shittos. Okay, now we're done with the mitzvah of lulav and esrig, mitzvah of arava. Miyati noikos. The adults would grab away from the hands of the children. They would snatch away the lovim from the hands of the children. And eat their esrogim. How does that work? Says Rashi. Two lines from the top. So they went down to this town called Moitza. The Gemara in Farish Tama gives the reason why it was called Moitza, which sounds like an exception. Out. And they would say, Anivahu. So Rashi gets into a whole discussion of Kabbalah, of the Shemus of Hashem. So we'll go through it quickly. Begematria on Hashem. So firstly, Anivahu is Begematria on Hashem, as we mentioned. Void. Another reason for saying Anivahu, it had deeper meaning here. Mishivim Ushtaim Shemusin. It's from the 72 letter Shemus of Hashem. Hanukuvim B'sholish Mikrois, which are hinted, are spelled out in the three psukim asmuchin, three psukim which are situated in close proximity to each other, v'parshas v'yibashalach, in v'shalach, v'yisa, v'yovoy, v'yimachne, v'yet Moshe es yodei. So you have one pasuk which begins v'yisa, one pasuk v'yovoy, one pasuk v'yet. U'shloshtan b'nei shiv m'shtayim yoshis. Each one of these psukim contains 72 letters. U'mehen shema mefarish. If you know how to work this out, you figure out the Shema Mefarish, that grand name of Hashem, all included in these psukim. How is it? So you have three psukim. Now, Ois Rishona Shal Pasuk Rishon. Take the first letter of the first pasuk, V'achroina Shal Emtzoin, the last letter of the middle pasuk, V'rishona Shal Achron, the first letter of the last pasuk. So it's first, last, and first. V'chein B'seh Adetz, V'chein B'seh HaSeder Kulam, and follow this example all throughout. Meaning, first, last, and first, second, second, the last, second, and first, and so on. Hashem Rishon Vuhu, you'll come up with the first shame, which is Vav Hei Vav. How's that? First letter of the first pasuk is a Vav, Vayisa, Vav Shal Vayisa. Then the last letter of the middle pasuk, Hei, Techol HaLayla. Then back to the first letter of the last pasuk, Vav Devayet. So you have Vav Hei Vav, that's Vuhu. And that's why we say, Ana, Ani Vuhu. Vuhu is referring to one of the shemas of Hashem. And the word Ani as well is one of Hashem's names. V'shem Ashleshem V'sheva, the 37th in the sequence, is going to be Ani. How? You take the Aleph from the word Machreim, which is found in the first pasuk. Take out the Aleph. V'nun Rishon de Ha'anon. And the first Nun of the word Ha'anon, which is found in the middle pasuk. B'chesh M'shem Afreya. Basically, you're going 37 letters back now. 37th letter of the first pasuk. 37th of the last from that middle pasuk, and then again to the third pasuk, and pick the 37th letter from the beginning, v'yud d'ruach kodem, the 37th is a yud. That's how you get to ani. So the word ani and the word v'hu are actually one of the from the shemos of Hashem that are found in this pasuk. So that's the deeper meaning behind this expression. So typically it was this way, but on the seventh day, that was a special day, they would do seven hakafis and bid the mizbeach farewell. This was during the weekday, but on Shabbos they would prepare the aropas in advance and place them in gigyos, kun shel zov mleis, mayim, vessels full of water. Rabbi Yechon says, chorei shel dekel mevin, bein b'choyeb on Shabbos, they would use palm branches. Ugmar and Farish Taima, why does he prefer branches? Charoyis are anafim, branches. Now, after they were done on the seventh, there's no longer a kiyum of mitzvahs lulav, so now they could snatch away the estrogim, miyat, tenoikis, Shemtenes Lovim Hagdoyim, the adults, Shemtenes Lovim Aktanim Miyodim Ashvi, on the seventh day of Sukkos, after the Kiyum of Mitzvah Slov, the adults will take the liberty to snatch away the children's sets. Va'ochan Esrogim Shal Tinoikis would actually eat their Esrogim. How could they do that? Ve'ein B'davar Lemishum Gezel. We're not concerned about stealing. V'lemishum Da'ki Sholem, create an animosity, Machloikis. Says Rashi Shekach Nohagu Machma Simcha. This was common, this was the accepted practice as an expression of joy, of simcha, and was allowed in this case. Continues the Gemara. So we spoke about the Arovas being found in the town of Moitza. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Mokim Kalanya Hava. It was a free enterprise zone. In that town of Moitza, you wouldn't pay any taxes, perhaps because it was not really an attractive place to do business. Swampy, full of water, it grew Arovas. So the king gave a discount. You live in that place, no taxes. V'tana didan maitaima karele moitza. Why does our Tana refer to it as moitza? For that very reason. I did the mepak mikarg de malka. Since it was exempt from the king's taxes, karele moitza, that's how it got its name, moitza. Moitza means out, exempted from taxes. What did they do with those tall arabis? Uboin v'zoik fin oisnum b'tzida mizbeach. They would position them on the floor around the mizbeach. Tanu learned in the Braisa. Rabbis, there were many. Some of the gears of rakis, they were soft and pliable. Va'arucha is very long. Ugvoya is achad asur amma. They were 11 amas high. What was the point of 11? Kadei sheyu goychoyz ala mizbeach amos, that they bend over an amma on the mizbeach. So you have the mizbeach, and the arava planted on the floor would now be so tall that it would actually bend over and lean an amma over the mizbeach. It didn't actually touch the mizbeach, it was just folded an amma and would hang somewhat in the air. Amma mereimar meshumar zutru. I want to point something out. Shema mino. From this brisa we can conclude that where did they put the arava? Not on the floor alongside the mizbeach, because it wouldn't be able to create that amma fold. It was too short for that. Shmamina Allah Yisoid Monachu, they would place it on the foundation of the Mizbeach, which was an amma off the ground. Because if you're going to say that they would place it on the floor itself, it wouldn't reach. Michti, let's take a look. How was the Mizbeach constructed? So the walls of the Mizbeach appeared like steps. You start 32 ammas wide, then it goes up vertically an amma, then comes in like a step. It comes in an amma, goes up 5, comes in 1, goes up 3. And then you have the top surface of the mizbeach. Ala amma v'konos amma, zehu yisoid. An amma up, an amma in, that's the foundation. Ala chamish v'konos amma, it continues 5 ammas vertically, and then comes in an amma horizontally, zehu soiv. That was the walkway. Apamush tekehanim would walk around the mizbeach. Allah Shalish, it continues upward another 3 amma. Zehu makom akronis, that's where the corners of the mizbeach were situated. So now that we know top surface of the mizbeach, which featured those 4 corners around it, 4 kronis, was 9 tefachim off the ground, right? It was 1 plus 5 plus 3. If you're going to place the arava on the floor, and they're only 11 amas high, keep in mind you have to account for the angle as well. It's slanted along those steps. So if it's on the floor and it has to be slanted, you're not going to have enough material to create that amma bend over the mizbeach. Right, if it's only 11 ammas to begin with, and the mizbeach is 9 ammas high, plus you have that angle to account for, you're going to come up short. Goiches al gava mizbeach amma heichem eshkachasla. How can you have the Arabas bend down an amma on the Mizbeach, if they're going to be on the floor, they're not going to reach. El lav shma, you know, it's pretty clear from here. Ayisoid monachlu. Instead of on the floor, it was placed on the foundation, on the first step of the Mizbeach. So it was an amma off the ground. So placing it on amma higher would give it that extra breathing space, which would allow it to be quite a bit above the Mizbeach, and allow it for that to give that fold, which would have that goyches al gabi mizbeach amma, would fall down an amma, but still not touch the mizbeach. Shmamino, it's pretty clear that indeed that's what it was. Omar Rabbi Avo, my Kruah. What do we find in a pasuk that indeed the Aravis would extend upward above the Mizbeach? Shenemar Isru Chag Ba'avoisim. Rashi learns Isru means be makiv, surround the Mizbeach on Chag, Ba'avoisim with these branches, with these trees, and the karnos of Mizbeach, which reach upward until the corners of the Mizbeach. Omar Bavo, Omar Blaz. Kulanoitel Lulav Bigude. Vahadas Ba'avoisim. If one is mekayim the mitzvahs lulav properly, he takes the bundle, the lulav bundle with the braided hadasim, ma'ala olav akos of the Torah regards him ki ilu banim mizbeach, v'yikrev olav carbon as though he built a mizbeach, and was makir v'carbon shenema isru chag ba'avoisim. If you go ahead and you take this bundle, this isur, this bundle of the lulav with the avoisim, with the braided hadasim within it, ad karnas ha'mizbeach, the Torah regards it as though you brought a carbon matan damim on the carnus of the Mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yichai. Rabbi Yechanan said it Mishum Rabbi Shimon Machozi. In the name of Mishum Rabbi Yechanan Hamakut. One who presents a bundle of eating and drinking, meaning he conducts himself with Simchas Yomtiv on the Chag. Ma'ale Olav Akosav Ki Ilu Hik Bana Mizbeach, Vikrav of Karbim, the pasuk considers it as though he was makir, build a Mizbeach and makir Karbim, you eat Lashem Shemayim, to Mesamech yourself on Yom Tov, as though you makir Karbim, you took that food material and you elevated it, you spiritualized it, like Hakrovas of a Karbim. Shenamar Isru Chag Bavoisim, you tie up this bundle of Bavoisim, actually learns Bavoisim are the plump behemois, so you're having the Simchas Yom Tov properly on Chag. That is regarded ad karnas ha-mizbeach as though you makar ha-mizbeach, built a mizbeach and makar ha-karm. Omer ha-cheski, Omer Rabbi Yirmiya. Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So this is another statement, from the same on the Omer. Kol ha-mitzvah is kulon. Whenever you fulfill a mitzvah, it has to be in the right way. It has to be positioned in the right direction. You can only be yoytzi with a mitzvah if you position it the way it naturally grows. For instance, the lulav has to be held upright, the way it grows on a tree. The estrig has to be held vertically. A tip up, stem down. Derek they lost in the way it grows. Although the estrig actually bends downward because of its weight, but when it begins to bud, it's heading upward. So that's derek de los. That's the only way to be kind of mitzvah. In fact, remember we had the Gemara earlier on Mem Beis, where the Gemara says you're not yoytze. If you mahapech, if you turn it upside down, that's the way many people take the lulav today. They pick it up, the esrog upside down, make the bracha, and then tip it back upright to be mekayim the mitzvah. Likewise, when it came to the Mishkan, the krushim, the boards situated around the Mishkan had to be positioned in the same angle as they grew on the trees. So instead of cutting your boards sideways, instead of cutting the trees sideways, in which case the boards will have to be positioned not in their natural angle, you meant to cut boards off the tree vertically. This way, when you position it around the Mishkan vertically, it's going to be derek de losen. Shenemar atzei shitim oyimdim. Oyimdim teaches us. It has to be in the same manner in which they grow. Tanna mihachi, of a raya from a braisa, atzei shitim oyimdim, sheoyimdim derek de losen. You position them around the Mishkan the way they grow. There were achar, another pshat in Oimdim. Shema midin es sipuyan. They weren't plated with gold. They weren't painted. They were actually plated. They were plates of gold, which were tacked on to the wood. And the wood would support the plating. Shema midin es sipuyan. They would support their plating. So that's atzishitim Oimdim. There were achar, another pshat in Oimdim. They're eternal. Even the Mishkan, which was put away when they built the Beis HaMikdash, will still have some use. Lasad Lavei, it's still going to serve a function. Shema Toimar, perhaps you'll say, Avad Sivram there. Hope was lost. Ubatos Sakuyan. And there's no longer anticipation for their return. Tamal Loimar Ate Shitim Oimdim. That forever they're eternal. Sha'imdim La'ilam Ula'ol Me'alam. And the Farshim say, even when the third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Meher Yemeinu, the Mishkan will return and will serve in some capacity. V'amar Chizkiya, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Shum, Rabbi Shimon Rechai. We have another statement from the same Adam. Shimon Rechai says, Yochel ani lifter es kol olam kule. I recognize that I stand very high, Baruch Hashem, high Madrega, and in my schus, I can exempt the entire world. I can protect the entire world min adin. Although they do many misdeeds, I can protect the world from destruction. The Rechananel says, he learned this from Avraham Avinu, who implored Hashem to save Sodom on account of a schus of a tzaddik. So we see that a tzaddik has that ability to protect his surroundings, protect the world from calamity. Rav Shimon Reichai recognizes Madrega, and he says, I have the ability to protect the world min adin, miyoyim shenevresi adata. I can protect the world from anything that went wrong, anything that transpired from the day that I was born until now. Rav Hananel says, when he was in the Ma'ara, in the cave for 13 years, they showed him Maris Elakim, and he realized, he recognized his greatness. So he wasn't trying to be boastful, he was just sort of davening to Hashem, and my schus, I want to be civil, I want to protect the world. Vilmole Eliyazar, or Elazar, Elazar Bani, and if you add my son Elazar into the equation, Imi, with me, Miyoyim, we could protect the world together, we can have a much greater effect. Miyoyim Shenivra Oilam Adachshav, anything that transpired from day one of creation until today. So it was compounded. Two is way more than, you know, than one. It's more than the sum total of the two. It's a compounded tzchus and can afford a greater measure of protection from day one until now. If you add Yoisam, who was one of the kings in Israel, and he was a great tzaddik, if you add him into the picture, we can protect the world from calamity and neutralize anything that went wrong from day one of creation until the end of days. But apparently, Farshim pointed out that Hashem did not accept that, so to speak. Hashem wanted there should be din in the world. And this bakasha, so to speak, was not accepted. But theoretically, these tzaddikim stood so high that they had the ability to be mezakeh the world and protect from anything, any einish. Chananel's mashma is not protecting from einish, but protecting from destruction, like there shouldn't be any kliya, he said, like the marble, these type of things. So perhaps it did take effect. According to Chananel, it did take effect that their schus did affect the world somewhat and afford some measure of protection. There shouldn't be absolute destruction due to avirus. V'amar Chizki, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, once again, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Reisi b'nei aliyah v'hin mu'atan. Let's go over to Rashi, off to the left. Reisi b'nei aliyah, says Rashi, v'hin mu'atan. Roya ani. I see. Lefi ma'asi abriyas. I take a look at people and I say, wow. She b'nei aliyah, which means kata mekablam p'nei shechina mu'atan him. There are so few individuals who are worthy of a mekablam p'nei shechina, but being zeicha, to recognize and to sort of see the shechina. Real tzaddikim are so few, so scarce. I'm not sure how many there are, says the Gemara. Im elafein, this is Rav Shimon Rechai speaking. I know there are very few mnei aliyah, but how many? I'm not sure. Im elafein, suppose there are 1,000 throughout all the deris. Ani ubni mihen, I'm sure that myself and my son are counted amongst them. Im meyahem, if there are only 100 in total, even then, ani ubni mihen, I'm sure that in those 100, myself and my son will be included. Im shnayimim, if there are only 2 bnei aliyah, ani ubni mehen, I'm sure it's me and my son. Ani ubni hein, we are those 2. So he's trying to inspire the olam to achieve great heights, not to suffice with mediocrity. Go for the best. Go to be a ben aliyah, to be a kal bnei shechina, and follow our example. Umi zutri kuliyai, says the Gemara. Is that so? There are so few bnei aliyah. He's not sure. 1,000, 100, maybe 2. There are many more. We know that as a fact. V'amar Rava, tamni sri alfi. There are 18,000. Dora hava de kamei. Dora means a row. 18,000 tzaddikim occupy that row. Hava de kamei kuchabrichu before Hashem. Ho mekabel pnei shechina. Shenamar Saviv Shmoinasar Elef, surrounding Hashem, there are 18,000. So it's way more. Like Kasha, the answer is, well, it depends on what level you're speaking. From Madregas. He was speaking at the highest level. Ha de Mistakli. He was referring to the tzaddikim who can peer, who can view Hashem's vision, so to speak. Bispaklaria Hamir. Rashi says, Bispaklaria is a machitza. Some sort of barrier. Actually, I think Bispaklaria literally means a mirror. So a tzaddik and navi views Hashem, so to speak, but only by way of reflection. It says, you can't have direct view. Hashem chas v'shom. It's a vision. It's a comprehension. It's an intellectual appreciation. So ispaklaria mi'ira means a clear vision, not a blurred vision. A direct clear vision, clear connection. That's a high madrega. And on that level, we have very few tzaddikim. Is it 1,000, 100, 2? We're not sure. The pasuk which speaks about 18,000. It's referring to a lower level of tzaddikim. Who are mekal pnei shechina, but on a lower level. Oh, the greater number is referring to tzaddikim who are the loy mistak, don't peer, bispaklayam ear into this crystal clear vision. Says the Gemara, but still, doesn't work. Udimistakli, bispaklayam ear. Those tzaddikim which have a clear vision of Hashchina, mizutri kulihaya, are they so few? 200, 1,000? Vamra Abaya, Abaya tells us, Loipochas Alma. In the world, at any given time, you'll have no less than Mitlosan Beshita Tzadikim. And 30 Tzadikim on the highest level. The Mekavla Beshchina, who received the Shchina. Bechol Yom, every day, meaning whenever, wherever, the world contains at least 36 great Tzadikim. Shenemar, Ashrei, Kol Choyche Loi. Lucky are those who await Loi. And Loi is referring to the group of great tzaddikim. Loi b'gematria. What is the value, the numerical value of Loi? Tlosim v'shita with 36. That's where we get the concept of 36 hidden tzaddikim. It doesn't say it has to be hidden. It can be known tzaddikim, according to our Gemara. But I guess if you don't really know them, they must be hidden. The point is that we're guaranteed to have 36, whether we see them or not. Either revealed or hidden, they're going to be 36 great tzaddikim. And that's every dur. So if you put together all the generations, about roughly 2,000 tzaddikim. Zakan Ushim Rechai, be unsure as to the number. 200, 1,000, way more. The Gemara is assuming that the 36 are pretty much on the highest level. They have a clear vision of the godly, the aura, the shechina, api shechina. So why wasn't he sure how many we have? Says Zumar, we have still to be mechalik between the levels. Hod the aili lekasha. The answer is hod the aili bebar. Bar means birushus. You have to get authorization to enter, to connect to Hashem on the highest level. So when we speak about the 36 tzaddikim for a total of way more than just 200 or 1,000 throughout all the doras. True, they're high tzaddikim, they're great tzaddikim, but they have to ask permission before they enter, so to speak, Hashem's domain. Ha, what is a pshimer yichai? Was referring to a greater level. The aili b'loi bar, those tzaddikim who can enter without permission, they have direct access. So the shechina, and regarding those, he was saying, well, I'm not sure if it's 200, or maybe 1,000. So there are three levels of tzaddikim, who makal pnei shechina. We have the 18,000, but that's a blurred vision. Bispaklaria she'inamira. We have the 36 bichol yaim. Apparently, the Gemara assumes they have a clear vision, but it's with permission. Whereas Rehim Mechai was speaking up Ne'aliyah, who live up there. That's their home territory, the Shechina. They idly believe bar without permission. Bishas p'thiros and mayin oimrim. So they leave the Mizbeach, they praise the Mizbeach. According to Beleza, they say, L'ka, L'cha Mizbeach. So they make reference to Hashem and the Mizbeach, the same expression. How can you do that? How can you combine Hashem with something else? Can't put them on the same level. With Tanya, we learned in a Brice. If a person does that, he gets uprooted from the world. You're sort of downgrading Kaviyachal Hashem by putting him together on equal footing with something else. You're bringing a carbon strictly for Hashem. You can't combine Hashem with something else. Hashem is in a realm of his own Kaviyachal. So how could they do that here? This is what they meant to tell the Mizbeach. Sorry, Hachi Kamer, this is what the Mishnah means. Leka, that's number one. Anachnu Moide. To Hashem, we are Moide. That He's our Hashem. He's the source of our existence. We're committed to Him, completely loyal to Hashem. That's number one. And then they switched gears. Lecha, Anu Meshabchim. And to you, Mizbeach, we praise. Leka, Anachnu Moide. Leka, Lecha, to you, Mizbeach, Anu Mekalsim. Another expression of praise and thanks for helping us serve Hashem. So we're not putting Hashem and the Mizbeach on the same footing. Hashem is our Hashem. We acknowledge His existence. We commit ourselves to serve Him. And to you, Mizbeach, thank you for helping us all throughout Yom Tov in our service of Hashem. K'maseh u'b'chol, the Mishnah continues, according to Rabbi Yechon and Breuker, they would use palm branches instead of arabis. Omer afuna my time with Rabbi Yechon and Breuker. How does he get the palm branches? Tachsiv. Kapois tomorrow. Kapois is Lashon Rabbah. Two, shnayim, achas lulav, one for mitzvahs lulav, v'achas l'mizbeach, one to be placed around the mizbeach. V'rabban amri, kapas ksiv, Rabban who maintained, he meant to use the arava, not the lulav branch, because the pasuk is spelled kapas, lashon yachad, one for the lulav, and that's it. So this is Rav Huna's pshat in Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Levi Omer, he gives another pshat, why you call Rabbi Yechon Breuker, they would use palm branches, ketamar, was a svara. Because it's part of the palm tree, which is very apropos. It symbolizes our relationship with Hashem. Ma tamar zeh, just as this palm tree, ein lo yela lev echad, it only has one heart, hearts of palms. It just goes right up the trunk. It doesn't branch off to the side. It has one single heart, which denotes commitment, loyalty. Af Yisrael ein lohem ela lev echad. Labiyim shebashamayim. Likewise, Yisrael will take these branches, are expressing their loyalty. We only have one heart, one love, directed and committed to you, Hashem. That was the symbolism. By taking the palm branch, they would express this love to Hashem. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, lulav shiva. Now we're going to discuss the brachis. How often do we make a bracha on the lulav? How often on the sukkah? It says Shmuel, lulav shiva. Every day you take the lulav. Every day you make a bracha on tilas lulav. The sukkah you make it. When it comes to sukkah, one time, beginning of sukkahs, that's it. Just once. Entire yom tov. My time and why. Very pashut. Lulav demafsaki leilas miyam. Lulav is a daytime mitzvah. The nights break up the days, because nights are not Zman Mitzvah. So by Lulav we have separate, independent entities. Each day is a separate mitzvah, a separate entity. Kol Yoyma Mitzvah Vapei Nafshi. Who? That leaves every day as a separate mitzvah, which requires a separate bracha. As opposed to Sukkah, the Loy Mifsiki Leilas Miyam. Sukkah is an uninterrupted, continuous mitzvah. Right? It applies during daytime, during nighttime. So it's one continuous Zman Mitzvah. Kulu Shiva, listen to this lashon, all 7 days. It's like one Yom Arichta. We have this lashon in Rosh Hashanah. 2 days are one Yom Arichta. Says the Gemara, when it comes to the bracha, we say, well, it's all one entity. It's one continuous fulfillment of that same mitzvah. It's one Zman Mitzvah. Make one bracha at initiation, beginning of Sukkot. That covers the entire Yom Tov. So once again, according to Rabbi Amar Shmuel, the bracha on lulav is daily. Bracha on sukkah is once for the entire Yom Tov. The Rabbi Bar Chan Omar B'Yoychanan, he disagrees. Just the opposite. Sukkah Shiva. When it comes to mitzvah sukkah, every time you enter the sukkah, it's another bracha. V'luv yamechad. As opposed to luluv, it's one bracha the first day and that's it. My time? Oh, what's his reason? Sukkah d'araisa shiva. Mitzvah sukkah is a mitzvah d'araisa. And therefore deserves a bracha whenever you mekayim that mitzvah, all throughout the 7 days of sukkahs. As opposed to luluv, which is only d'rabbanan, right? When you're outside the mikdash, first day is d'araisa, but afterwards only zeichel mikdash, d'rabbanan. We don't make a bracha on mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's a shita. Sagli b'chad yom. A bracha on the first day is sufficient, carries you throughout the entire yom. So according to Rabbi Rachana Omar B'Yechnan, it's just the opposite. It's the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel said, we look at the Zman mitzvah. It comes to Lulav, every day is an independent Zman, an independent brach. Sukkah is a continuous mitzvah. It's a 7 day mitzvah. One bracha for everything. Rabbi Rachana, name Rabbi Yechnan says, all the way around. Let's look at the essence of the mitzvah, the quality. Sukkah is the rice. Fine. Every yeshiva sukkah requires a bracha, but lulav, beyond the first day, is only the rabbana. No bracha. Kiyosu Ravin of Rabbi Yechanan. Ravin had a different version of Rabbi Yechanan himself. Echad zeh vechad zeh shiva. It's irrelevant whether it's lulav or sukkah. You make a bracha and another bracha, another bracha, all throughout Yom Tov. So lulav will be a daily bracha. And sukkah, as Tosfos points out, of course sukkah has nothing to do with the day. He says every time you enter the sukkah to eat, drink, and sleep is a new bracha, even 10 times a day. The point is, as opposed to making one bracha for all 7 days, it's going to be a bracha all seven, echad zeh vechad zeh shiva, but of course it's not once a day. And many times as you use the sukkah, you make a bracha. Amar Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, what about the psak halacha when it comes to sukkah? Nekoit derabba bar barchana biyotcha. Hold on, grab on to Rabbi Barachana's shita of Rabbi Yechanan, which was that you make a separate bracha every time you enter the sukkah, all throughout sukkahs. Why? How do I know that's the correct shita? The kulu amiroi, because all the amiroim who quote Rabbi Yechanan kaimi kavosei besukkah, they follow Rabbi Barachana's version when it comes to sukkah. Meaning, we had two quotes, two versions of Rabbi Yechanan. We had Rabbi Barachana, we had Ravin. Now, although there was a slight difference between these two when it comes to lulav, but as pertaining to sukkah, they both follow the same shita, which is that you make a new bracha every time you use the sukkah all throughout the 7 days. And we can assume that is Rabbi Yechanan's shita, right? Because all are quoting him as such. And knowing that, we pass like Rabbi Yechanan, because who's the one that opposed Rabbi Yechanan? Shmuel. Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, that sukkah only gets one bracha at the beginning of Yom Tov, that's it. And Rashi brings, when there's a machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, we pass on Rabbi Yechanan, therefore says the Gemara, you meant to follow that halacha, every time you enter the sukkah throughout Yom Tov, you make a separate bracha. So conclusion, how many shitas do we have? Regarding the bracha of lulav and the bracha of sukkah, we have Shmuel, we have two versions of Rabbi Yechanan. Shmuel held, the bracha on lulav is a daily bracha because we have those nights in between which separate the days, make them into separate entities. So each day, a separate bracha. As opposed to sukkah, which is one continuous chiv, yomim and leilois, there's no hafsaka. We deal with it like chad yom aricha. So one bracha in the beginning accounts for the entire yom. Rabbi Bar Bachana's version of Rabbi Yechanan was switch it around, just the opposite. On lulav, you make one bracha the first day where it's min ha-Torah, but then following the first day it's only the Rabbanan, doesn't require a bracha. You don't make a bracha mitzvah the Rabbanan, that's his shita. When it comes to sukkah, where it's a mitzvah the Raisa, all throughout Yom Tov, every time you use the sukkah, you make a new bracha. Ravin's version of Rabbi Yechanan was, in both, lulav and sukkah, you're going to make a bracha and another bracha all throughout the days of Yom Tov. Okay, let's take a quick chazor of today's daf. How they go about doing the mitzvahs arava, they would go down to Moitza, which was a place exempt from taxes, pick these beautiful branches of arava. On Erev Shabbos, they would have to do it before Shabbos and place it in the water. In any case, they took the aravas, walked around the Mizbeach, typically it was once, on Hoshana Rabbah, seven times. They would place them around the Mizbeach, position them on the floor, but not actually on the floor, rather on the Yisoy to give it extra lift, because there were only 11 amas tall. This way they would lean over, they would bend an amar over the Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Yechim and Broker, they would use palm branches. We had two reasons. Either kapois, tmarim, lashon ram, one for the lulav, one for the procedure around the Mizbeach. According to the second shot, the palm tree symbolizes our absolute commitment, connection to Hashem, just as the Dekel has Lev Echad, we also have a Lev Echad, Avinu Shema Shemayim. What was unique about the seventh day of Sukkah, which we call Hashanah Rabbah? They would make seven Hakavas around the Mizbeach. They would say, well, this was typically, Ana Hashem Hashiyana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, according to Abiyuda, Aniva Hu Hashiyana. This was on a regular day as well. On the seventh day, they would say, Yoyfe Lecha Mizbeach, Yoyfe Lecha Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Lezer, they would say, Leka, which the Gemara interprets to mean, we are Moida to Hashem, and then, Ulecha Mizbeach, you Mizbeach deserve praise for helping us out, assisting us in the service of Hashem. And we discussed different types of tzaddikim, 18,000, who view Hashem's vision with a splaklaria she'enamir, some sort of blurred vision. We have 36 tzaddikim constantly around who view Hashem's vision with a splaklaria meir, with absolute clarity. But they still need to get rishus before they enter, before they access. Whereas Bnei Aliyah, referring to an even higher madrig of tzaddikim, who need no access. This is their home territory. Those are very few, we're not sure how many. In any case, we are certain that Rav Shimon Chai, as well as his son, are to be counted amongst them. And we know the interesting concept that the tzaddik can actually protect the dur, just as we find by Avraham Avinu with Stein. Concluded with the halachis of bracha upon the lulav and the sukkah. And the Gemara concluded that when it comes to sukkah, we're meant to make a bracha every time we use a sukkah, because that seems to be the consensus. As per Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan in the Machlokes with Shmuel, and indeed, we make a bracha every time we use a sukkah, as we do today. Kol tov to you, and atzlacha rabba.